This hour, we are just talking COVID and Omicron. So much news, so many questions before the break. First, we were listening to live coverage of President Joe Biden's press conference on COVID and Omicron. We then talked with the Boston Globe's columnist Kimberly Atkins-Store not only about that, but announcements from Governor Baker and his administration this morning. And now it's Tuesday, which means it's time for Ask the Doctors. We're guessing you have a lot of questions. We know we do, too. So let's jump right in. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your coronavirus questions, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Our guest today, Dr. Shira Derone, attending physician, hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center and associate professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. Dr. Derone, welcome.
Great to be back.
And we're welcoming a new guest this week, Dr. Daniel Bork, infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, an assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine, and bringing to the table expertise in global health and travel. Dr. Bork, thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Dr. Derone, I am going to start with reactions from you to President Biden's announcements just now.
Well, I've only heard a little bit from listening to you, actually, but I am happy to hear that there is increasing attention being paid, increasing resources being dedicated to important things like testing, like boosting, vaccinating. Those are obviously the most important things that we can be doing as we try to weather this Omicron wave.
And Dr. Bork, one of the things that was notable about both President Biden's announcements today and Governor Baker's announcements today were moves to use National Guard, FEMA, other federal employees and state employees to help backfill not only our healthcare capacity or hospital capacity, but also our ability to administer testing, boosts, vaccinations, et cetera, over the next, you know, several weeks. How necessary here in the Commonwealth is getting that additional support? Here, Governor Baker is mobilizing up to 500 members of the National Guard.
I mean, I do feel the mobilization of resources right now is very appropriate. I think it's timely and could have potentially been done sooner. You know, I think we got, you know, some indications that some people aren't able to, you know, get the testing or get the vaccines that they're looking for. So certainly, you know, increasing access as much as possible is critical right now.
So, Dr. Derone, I'm going to just read you a little bit of some sound we played earlier in the show. I'm not sure we'll be able to get it back up here in time right now, but we heard Mary Lou Sutter say 300 Guard members will support 55 acute care hospitals as well as 12 ambulance service providers to address the non-medical support needs of our hospitals and transport systems. What I hear is, there's the forward-facing team. We will be behind them. But can we integrate National Guard professionals that quickly? Like, will they be a force multiplier right away? Or will that create chaos that we should have any concern about? This is a genuine question. In our hospital system, as we integrate 300 to 500 people that don't normally work in these places into these systems.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same worries this morning when I heard that, and I'm not in charge of operations, so I'm not up to speed on how those folks in my hospital plan to best utilize them. But you know what I read about what kinds of things they can do. The list of things struck some chords. So for example, one of the things we're struggling with is sitters, people who can watch folks that are having mental health crises, who are suicidal, who are sundowning or, you know, having altered mental status, elderly individuals, for example, with delirium. That is something that we struggle with right now from a staffing standpoint, and that is something that doesn't require a lot of medical skills and that would come in hand very, very much so over the next few weeks.
Okay, and I'm about to go to phones, but quickly, Dr. Bork, before I do, how is the morale at Boston Medical Center?
I mean, I feel the morale, you know, remains strong, and I think we're well prepared. So I think at this point, things are going well.
And as I go to the phones, I will say, Dr. Derone, you just mentioned mental health and those who might be feeling suicidal, for example. If that's you or if you have concerns about a loved one, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 800-273-TALK. All right. Now, our phone number, if you have questions for the doctors, similar, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Lots of calls. So we're going to start with Paul in Marshfield. Paul, you are on with the doctors.
Oh, thanks a lot. I was going to say thanks to WBUR, and within a week of being eligible, I got my booster 2 months ago. So, I mean, other than wearing a mask, you know, I got my booster and wearing a mask inside, stores or whatever place the public is, what can I, and social distancing, what can I do to kind of keep myself healthy or safe during this time?
Great question, Paul. Dr. Derone, why don't I turn to you?
Well, one thing that, you know, we've been telling people recently, especially with Omicron being so contagious, is you can upgrade your mask game. So, people have been wearing all sorts of masks, cloth masks, thin masks, multi-layered masks, N95s, and you can achieve more protection of yourself if you wear a mask that filters better and fits better. Not everyone can tolerate wearing an N95 all day, and if you can't and you end up just taking it off a lot, that's no good. KN95s have really good fit and filtration but aren't quite as uncomfortable, so you might try some different options for yourself.
And at this point, we don't have any reason to believe you can't get a hold of the masks that you need to. It's not spring of 2020, right, Dr. Derone? KN95 seem to be in good supply, for example.
Right. At this point, we are okay on supply, but, I will always, give a caveat that if we're having supply issues in hospitals, then the N95s would be best left for the hospitals. We don't wear KN95s here in acute care hospitals in Massachusetts, so those are fair game right now.
Let's pick up another question here. 1-800-423-8255. We've got Lee calling from the car. Lee, go ahead.
Hi, I'm one of the few million who got the J&J vaccine, and then I followed it up with Moderna booster. But the news seems to indicate that J&J is completely ineffective against Omicron, and I'm wondering if I should try to go get a full dose of Moderna or Pfizer, or what should I do at this point?
Thanks for that question, Lee. So, Dr. Bork, a couple things to clarify as I give you a chance to answer Lee's question. First, what do we know about efficacy of those who have received J&J and or J&J plus a J&J booster in the face of Omicron? And second, if one has had a booster, is it even possible to get an additional shot, and is it advisable, Dr. Bork?
Very, very important question and a very great question. So to start, we're still learning a lot about vaccine effectiveness with Omicron. And, what we do know, though, is that the mRNA vaccines do appear to be effective, though, I think as we've been talking, highlighting the need for the booster. And then now to move to the Johnson & Johnson vaccines and other vaccines like it, they do not appear to be as effective against prior versions of the prior variants of the coronavirus. And so, I do think, though, that there is still some protection. I think we're still learning more. And I think one key question is how much protection is there against severe disease? Now, to go to the scenario where there has been a booster, in this case with a Moderna, there is one study, and it included a similar vaccine, the Oxford AstraZeneca, and it included individuals who were boosted with a Pfizer, and there was protection in that case. So I think those who have gotten the J&J, it would be reasonable to seek out boosters with one of the mRNA vaccines.
So I want to ask just two brief follow-up questions there, Dr. Bork. First, the Moderna booster is a half-dose booster, correct? One of the things that Lee said is, should I get a full shot of Moderna? But as I understand it, and I'm asking for clarification, the booster dose of Moderna that is authorized is a half dose. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And Moderna just recently released a press release giving data on the neutralization titer, the antibody response to the half dose and the full dose. And the full dose does elicit a higher response as expected, though the half dose still does offer a significant, you know, their number, I believe, was a 37-fold increase in the titer.
And my second question, Lee was asking, okay, I've had the J&J shot. I've had a booster. Should I get another booster? Is it possible for somebody to obtain an additional booster? And if so, how does one think about that?
Right now, that's not something that is FDA approved. Though, you know, I would, you know, cite the data that I mentioned that getting a booster with one of the mRNA vaccines does appear to offer protection.
Okay, Dr. Durone, I'm going to come back to you to ask a follow-up question to something you said a minute ago, and then we'll go back to the phones. You talked about KN95s being almost as protective as N95s and potentially more bearable to wear over longer periods of time. We know there has been concern about counterfeit KN95s. So how does one know, what does one look for to know you're wearing a quality mask, that you're purchasing one that does what it is supposed to do? Do you know?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of maybe wives' tales about, you know, you shouldn't be able to blow out a candle or things like that. I'm not sure that there is a great way to know for sure that you're not dealing with something counterfeit, and that it is the same quality as something that might be authentic. But, you know, you can certainly try to do things like, you know, try to tell if it is at least impeding some of your exhalation so you can see that it is filtering.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your questions here on Ask the Doctors. We've got Carol on the line in Cape Cod. Carol, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know if those of us over 70 are more or less likely to be asymptomatic. Asymptomatic is what worries me the most.
Thanks for that question. Dr. Durone, I'll stay with you on that one.
Well, I'm not sure that there is an age gradient to the likelihood of symptomatology. I am hearing that a surprising proportion of the people that are infected these days are symptomatic, and I think that, you know, the immune response when you are vaccinated and get infected is so vigorous that you're likely to be symptomatic. And so we're just not finding as many asymptomatic cases in our patients and our employees these days as we used to in the pre-vaccination era.
1-800-423-8255 to ask your coronavirus questions. You are listening to Ask the Doctors on Radio Boston with Dr. Shira Durone and Dr. Daniel Bork. Terry's on the line. I can't see on my call screener where you're calling from. Where are you calling from, Terry, and what's your question?
My name is Terry. I'm calling from Boston, and I was calling in a response to the remarks that I believe he was a director of Boston City Hospital talking about morale. I can speak to that directly, having I'm currently a nurse at the bedside at the Brigham and Women's Hospital for 26 years. And, you know, one, I welcome the National Guard. I think they would be far superior than more than half of the travelers that the hospital is paying exorbitant amount of money. They show up from travel agencies. I'm not sure what kind of a vetting process there is, but their skill sets leave a lot to be desired. Not to mention the unending amount of patient flow and the acuity of the patients. I don't know where they're getting the information that bedside morale from the care providers, me, is great. There's no problem. I know that's probably a nice whitewash to keep the public calm, but we've needed help at the hospitals, at my hospital and most of the hospitals in Boston, for months. We've
All
been
right.
in negotiations with the hospital since
Thanks.
September, and we're screaming for help.
Terry, so not to be incompassionate, but your message is loud and clear, and I want to give Dr. David Bork, who is at Boston Medical, excuse me, Daniel Bork, who is at Boston Medical Center, an opportunity to respond. You know, there's a lot of anger there. Dr. Bork, and we've heard over the months the fatigue in our healthcare workers. I don't question your response earlier, but I also want to give you a chance to respond to what we heard from Terry there.
You know, it's been a long now, nearly 2 years, and I think we've all been, I mean, all healthcare providers have been through a lot, and you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and I think we're all now faced with, you know, what appears to be a potentially daunting next several weeks or more, and I think we just got to stay focused and you know, continue with what's, you know, could be a difficult task, but one that we'll ultimately get through.
How are you, Dr. Bork?
Excuse me?
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
And Dr. Durone, how about you?
I am tired. I don't sleep much now, so that's, you know, that's making it hard.
Is it work that's keeping you awake at long hours,
yeah,
or worry?
Work keeping me away. Work worry, yeah, keeping me awake.
We are in the throes of a very busy Ask the Doctor. Still with us, Dr. Shira Durone, attending physician, hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, and associate professor at Tufts University School of Medicine, as well as a new doctor this week, Dr. Daniel Bork, infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine, with expertise in global health and travel as well. And you, and the calls keep coming. We will take as many of them as we can on this day where both Governor Baker and President Biden made news committing to National Guard support of hospitals, $500 million free COVID tests, stepping up a vaccination and booster site capacity, much going on. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your coronavirus question. And I am just going to dive right in. We've got Anna on the line in South Boston. Anna, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two teenagers, 13 and 14, and they've both had two doses of Pfizer, but they can't be boosted yet because they're not old enough. And I don't know how cautious I need to be with them with Omicron. Is it like they haven't been vaccinated? What should we be doing with our younger teens who can't be boosted?
Dr. Durone.
Yeah, I would feel very comfortable with children that age who are double vaccinated and not boosted for a couple of reasons. One is that they're already protected by their youth, and the vaccine, of course, just gives them that extra protection. And the vaccine, it seems, and of course they received Pfizer vaccine, so it appears to be about 70% effective against severe disease in adults. Of course, adults have a much higher risk of severe disease. So I would extrapolate that to mean that they're extremely well protected against any severe disease, even in the face of Omicron.
I'm going to take a follow-up call with another caller worried about children, 1-800-423-8255. Melissa is on the line from Concord. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have two children that are immune compromised. They have hypogammaglobulinemia, and my youngest has lung disease. And they have both been given the Pfizer vaccine. However, the youngest does need immunoglobulin therapy, gets IVIG every 3 weeks. And so we're looking at the holidays and the new variant, and we're very concerned about what we should do. So suggestions or recommendations on how we can gather as a family and be safe, or if we can.
Dr. Bork, and this, I'm mindful of President Biden saying earlier today, if you are vaccinated, especially if you're boosted, go ahead and get together with your family. Now, Melissa has immunocompromised children, so I understand that creates a special circumstance here, but I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I understand your concerns, and you know, gathering and seeing family over the holidays is really important, and I think it's, you know, important that we kind of prioritize certain activities like over this period of time, and I think that's one that could be prioritized or should be. You know, I think, you know, obviously there's nothing that gives you 100% protection. You know, vaccination in this case is obviously very important. But, you know, and then I think as we've talked about earlier, mass will be important. And I think if you're gathering inside with family, I would recommend that the two children wear masks in that setting. And I know that may be hard for them to accept, but I would recommend that. And then I think importantly, and I really recommend this to probably all families, is when people are getting ready to gather, I would recommend that people consider doing rapid antigen testing. At-home test kits, which can simply take 15 minutes, and something that all members of the family can do prior to that gathering. And that will significantly, you know, improve or, you know, lead to a better and safer environment.
So, Dr. Bork, I'm going to stay with you for a second because you have expertise in travel. There is the act of gathering, and then there can be the act of getting there to gather. Should our thinking on traveling, whether it's across the state, across the country, or overseas, to be together at these holidays or for other adventures people may have been planning, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's another layer. And I think that, you know, as I pointed out, the rapid testing can be a part of that as well. I think what's reassuring is in the setting of travel, air travel, for instance, that masks are required, as Dr. Doran pointed out earlier in the show. You know, really, you know, upping your mask game and making sure that you have a highly effective and comfortable mask, one that you could keep on for a long period of time, is going to be critically important. But, you know, certainly can't say that transit won't, you know, increase the risk of potentially acquiring infection. But I think if you're sticking to all those precautions and, you know, along with that, that includes a booster or recent vaccination, as well as rapid testing, I think you're setting yourself up for, you know, the best case scenario.
1-800-423-8255. The lines have been full the entire time. We're going to clear through calls as quickly as we can. We've got TT on the line in Worcester. TT, go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm very frustrated every time I listen to the radio and I hear all the public health people telling you, oh, you can get tested whenever you want it, make it seem like it's so easy. And this weekend I had a terrible situation. My 17-year-old that goes to Doherty High School had all the symptoms of COVID, and I'm a nurse, believe me, so I knows it. And I was smart enough to quarantine him in his room. I got on the computer trying to find a site where I can test my child. I could not get any testing. Everybody was telling me the only available time they have in my community is Wednesday. I'm saying to them, there's a good chance that there is COVID circulating in this community, in this school, because this child is 17-year-old. I just went to a basketball game that goes to the gym 2 times a day. I need to have testing now so I can know to start contact tracing, getting in touch with other parents. I called the Worcester Family Health Center. They do not have any testing available. This is Friday. They don't have anything available until this week, Wednesday. Okay? I got on the website. I call his doctor office. They don't have anything available until Monday. I am frustrated. Finally, I got very upset being the mama bear that I am, protecting my child. I called the director of the Worcester Family Health Center, and I threatened to have every media come down there if they don't give me a spot to have my child tested for the safety of my community. Finally, the director said to me, okay, we can test him on Saturday.
So did you get the test?
I finally got the test after almost being arrested by the security guard because I was being so upset, and these people are running me around from place to place. And
TT, I'm going to stop you there, not out of disrespect. I am so glad you called. I am so sorry you had that frustrating experience, and I'm glad you shared it with us. Now I want to turn to Dr. Doran. I could feel that in my bones listening to TT, Dr. Doran. People are having trouble getting tests. What can they do?
I feel it too. You know, we have a walk-in testing site 6 days a week, and we normally
at Tufts Medical Center. Just to be clear, because I know there are people listening who are
at Tufts Medical Center, 276 Tremont Street in Boston. We normally in October and November we were doing about 200 tests a day, and in the last couple of weeks it's gone up to like 475 a day, and on Friday it was 550. And it's gotten to the point where the line can be over 2 hours long. Now, we pride ourselves in being walk-in. Nobody needs an appointment. Nobody needs a doctor's order. Nobody needs to have a symptom. They can just show up, and we don't charge any money. But we had to turn people away, and it is heartbreaking. And there are no alternatives, and the shelves are bare of the home tests, and there is no great solution. It was not anticipated that this would happen, and so there are not that the scale up didn't happen quickly enough, and we are at our max capacity. We can't do any more. We only have so many slots in the machines.
Dr. Durone, you do not have a crystal ball, so I want to say that up front. But how long in your gut do you think it'll be before this smooths out some? Are we looking at a couple weeks or a couple months?
I think weeks, not months, but I don't know. I absolutely don't know. But the reason I say that is a couple of things. One is that it appears that in Hotang province in South Africa, where they really shot up so quickly and first, that it's already on its way down, it appears, although you never know with data. And you know, of course, they may have maxed out testing too, so, you know, maybe they can't detect anymore. And the other reason is that if the U.S. is truly at 75% or so of Omicron, if Massachusetts is at 50% Omicron, which we think, then maybe that means that we're closer to that peak and that we will see that peak and then come down. And I will also say that our Delta curve was really following in a very, very similar, almost identical shape to last year's COVID curve at this exact same time, and cases started to come down at some point in January. And so if we follow that same seasonal pattern, then I hope that means that we will start to see cases come down in January.
1-800-423-8255. We'll try to get one or two more in. We've got Kate on the line from Lowell. Kate, go ahead.
Hi, I have a young child at home who's unvaccinated because she's too young. And we had talked about for family gatherings, everyone getting a home test before we get together. And I was just wondering what an appropriate response would be to some family members who are resistant because they're worried about getting a false positive result.
Dr. Bork.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I would continue to encourage them to test, and I would reassure them that false positives are uncommon. You know, false negatives can be an issue, and we know that the rapid tests, you know, can miss approximately 20 to 30, depending on symptomatic versus asymptomatic. The percentage is higher in those who are asymptomatic, but nonetheless, false positives are uncommon, and that should not be a concern.
1-800-423-8255. We've got Janet on the line in West Roxbury. Janet, we are tight on time, so ask your question quickly, please, so we can get you an answer.
Okay, thank you. I have two grandchildren, 85 and 7. They had COVID in October. How long do they have to wait until they can get the first vaccination, or do they have to wait at all?
Great question. Dr. Durone.
They do not have to wait. And when you add vaccination on top of prior infection, you become super immune. It's the best kind of immunity you can get. So I highly recommend they be vaccinated.
And they can be vaccinated anywhere. They don't have to go to a pediatrician in this case because they've had the illness, Dr. Durone?
Oh, they can be vaccinated anywhere. Again, we have a walk-in vaccine clinic as well, and we do anyone age 5 and up.
Tufts Medical Center again in that street Tufts address, Medical. Dr. Durone?
That is 800 Washington Street.
All right. So we don't have enough time to take another call. I am going to note, A lot of calls that we didn't get to today. We will not have an Ask the Doctors next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks, the first Tuesday in the new year, and we will continue to have these incredible public health servants come and answer your questions here on Radio Boston on Ask the Doctors. So for today, we will say our goodbyes. Dr. Shira Doron, attending physician, hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, and associate professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
And Dr. Daniel Bork, infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and an assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine. Thanks for joining us for your first time on Ask the Doctors. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure, and happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays to both of you, too. Thanks.